is the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, I found as you get older, but your strength, the strength you had to do things at one time, you no longer have that strength. And I'm finding different things in life that I don't have the strength to do that I used to do. Used to, whatever you saw, a challenge, you just jump up there and knock it out. Can't do that anymore. Can't run the races, can't jump over things, can't do much of physical activities like that very fast. But I thought about this coming year, and we're going to face another year. We have to have strength to get through another year. And I got thinking about physical strength. Then I got thinking about our spiritual strength. Some of you may be here up in years, and you may just be hoping for another year that you would have physical strength to come to the house of God. But what I want to preach about this morning is having the spiritual strength to come to the house of God. How many of you have ever been sick and you had to miss church if you're used to coming? How many of you ever had to miss church for a few weeks? If you really are used to coming, you begin to miss it. And I understand some of these people that, I know Dad, you know, Dad pastored for 49 years. He got sick and he got to the place where he couldn't come to church hard at all. He missed it. When he'd come, he won't try to preach. He got where he would take 2 and 3 and 4 or 5 weeks to try to prepare one message, where he used to prepare messages 3 or 4 times a week. As a matter of fact, when he died, he had a message half prepared on his desk. And I know he missed coming. He loved to come when he was able to come. This morning, I want to share with you the idea of strength. Serving God, being faithful to the house of God and things of God, where does our strength come from? I know it comes from God, but what brings strength to a Christian? Anybody know? What does the Bible say brings strength? The joy of the Lord. As a matter of fact, that's the text we're going to use this morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now picture this in your mind a moment. The background of the scripture we're fixing to read. Nehemiah had been sent over. Israel had been captive in Babylon for 70 years. 70 years. Most of you have not been living for 70 years. For 70 years, they've been over in this strange land. And for 70 years, they were there because they were disobedient to God. Then, there was a group able to come over and begin working and building a wall, building a temple, and so forth, because the old temple that was at Jerusalem was destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar came and took them captive. Now, the odd thing about it was, in 70 years, Israel, because they were not in their place, they were not in the temple, the house of God, they did not have those things available, they refused to have any feast, and God told them not to celebrate any feast. A feast was for celebration. Now, in the Jewish calendar, there was 12 months, and the first 6 months was sacred months. The feasts during those times were sacred. The seventh month on through the rest of the year was secular feast. Now, I said that because nothing's by coincidence here. And begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter 7 and verse 73, the verse right before chapter 8. The Bible says, so the priests and Levites and porters and singers and some of the people and the Netheans all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now notice that he specifically says the seventh month. Then begin reading, if you would, in verse 1, chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. Now this is important too. They were all in unity when they came. They were all at the water gate, before the water gate. The water gate means a place in the wall where people would bring water in and out. And so it identifies where that's at. And all the people said, well, why wasn't they in the temple? Because there were so many people, they couldn't get them in the temple. Now, remember, for 70 years while they're in captivity, they had not had a worship service in the temple like they had used to having. Now, and they were not able to celebrate their feast, and they had seven feasts. Now they were out. They've been laboring all these years since they've been out, building everything up, and now in the seventh month of this year, they were gathering for the first time in many years, probably 8 or 9 years. They were gathering for the first time to celebrate and worship God back in their home. It's like being out of church for a year or two and coming back in and not being able to come to church. Imagine where you would be if you physically unable to come. I remember one time a missionary come through from Russia that really touched me years and years when I was a young boy. And the missionary said this, they would take Bibles. That's back when the communists, they were deadly if they found you with a Bible. And they trained German shepherds to take backpacks and saddlebags. And they would train them to go dig holes under the wall. And they'd sneak Bibles in with German shepherds. And they showed this little picture of this little lady. And she was all crumpled up and she couldn't move. And all she could do was move her hand. She had one hand that she could move. She couldn't move her legs. She couldn't move her other hand. She laid in bed all time. And they would hold a notebook and she would write the Sunday school lesson for them every week. And it would take her 7 days of moving her finger to write the Sunday school lesson for that week. And they took a picture of her writing a Sunday school lesson, and she had such a smile on her face. She glowed for being able to write the Sunday school lesson and serve God when she could only move her finger and hand. They met in caves, basements, anywhere they could meet, they would meet with just a handful of people. Sometimes some areas would only get one Bible and they would tear pages out where everybody could have a page of the Bible. And they would meet and they would read the same page day after day after day, and they would celebrate having the Word of God. These people had not heard the Word of God preached for over 80 years. They're fixing to hear it. We come to church. We come kind of begrudging sometimes. We come and we sit here having the freedom to worship. And we just let it go right over our heads. We lose our joy in hearing the Word of God. We lose our joy and able coming together and assembling ourselves together. What if all of a sudden we lost our liberties in this America and it was against the law to have churches? What if you got took to prison if they caught you meeting with the Bible? What if they came into your house and they found a Bible and they took you to prison? And first they would torture your children in front of you. That's what they were doing, those Russians back then when that missionary come through. And so, how would you feel if all that was taken away from you, if that was taken away from you and you got to come back to church and have the freedom again, how would you feel if you'd been restricted from that for about 80 years? There was children there that had never heard the word of God preached. And they were fixing to hear it for the first time. Now, let me say this. God didn't say joy was dependent upon your circumstances because they were working hard. It was not easy work. As they was building the wall, they had to hold a sword in one hand and they had to build with the other hand to fight the enemy off. It was not an easy task to build this wall. Somebody said, oh, they had it easy. That's why we worship God. No, when we have it so easy in life, that's when we quit worshiping God because we quit appreciating the opportunities that we have. And so here, they'd worked hard. But God doesn't promise joy. As a matter of fact, joy is a gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's not dependent upon the circumstances of your life. Happiness is dependent upon the circumstances of your life. Oh, everything's going good. I'm happy. Joy, you can have joy in the midst of a storm. You can have joy in the midst of a disaster. Somebody was telling me this morning about a local pastor around here that just diagnosed with cancer. And it's a very severe one. Now, my point is this. Imagine not being able to have those freedoms. That's where these people were. Now they were having the freedom. Now in the seventh month, they met. Let's begin reading, if you would. And all the people gathered themselves together as one into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the Lord before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Now it's important because that was the day that the Feast of the Trumpets started. Then you also had, in the seventh month, you also had the Feast of Atonement. Then you also have the Feast of Tabernacles. And so you had those three feasts that was represented during this month. But let's begin reading. Verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the what? Until when? Oh, Lord, the preacher's going over 30 minutes. Oh, he kept us past 12 o'clock today. Can you believe he preached 45 minutes? They said, Ezra, please read us the Bible. And he started in the morning, and at midday he was still preaching. You say, I bet he lost a lot of his congregation. They were so full of people they couldn't even go into the temple because there wasn't room in the temple for everybody to gather, so they had to gather in the street. And all of them was as one man. In other words, every one of them was there for one purpose, to hear the word of God. Can you imagine? Wow. Do you have any idea what price was paid to have that Bible, that book in your lap? You ought to read the history of the King James Bible. You ought to find out how that come be and how many people lost their lives just presenting you that Bible. How many of them was flayed alive? How many of them was burned at stakes? Had their tongues burned out? Had their children flayed alive? Had their children thrown to the lions just to bring you the Bible? And we sit there, and some of us don't even read it when we were preaching. Some of us could leave a preaching service and not even have one iota of what was even said. Listen, it's just as much the word of God now as it was the day God gave it. And so these people were all gathered, crowds of them, anticipating. Listen, from morning all the way to midday. Look what, before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of all the people were what? Attentive unto the book of law. They didn't have their mind on everything else. They weren't playing games. The whole family was there. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they made for a purpose, and beside him was Here we go. If you don't like the way I pronounce these things, just hold your hand up and I'll let you read them for me, okay? Be glad to let you substitute for me. Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left, Perdeah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hansham, and Hashbadana, and Zechariah, and Meshula. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened the book, all the people did what? Oh my. They had such reverence to the word of God, they was fixing it. They'd been waiting for 80 years for this moment. And now they were gathered and they was fixing to hear the word of God preached again in their city. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. The first thing he did when he got ready to preach was this. He praised God. He didn't bless them and give them a blessing. He blessed God and praised them for the privilege and opportunity they had to just worship God and have the freedom to worship God. And all the people answered what? Amen, amen. They lifted up their hands. Everybody that heard him bless God, they said, amen, God is responsible for us having these freedoms and liberties and all the privileges we have of being free to come and worship God. Praise God. Amen. We come, we say, church again? Got to go in there again? Oh, let's sing. Preaching? Oh, Lord, he's going to preach again. Long-winded. Not there. The Bible says, and all the people said, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then he named several Levites. I'm just going to jump over that in verse number 8. And they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You say, what's the purpose of preaching? So that you can easily understand the Bible. My job in preaching is not to make it so complex and so deep that you don't understand and pronounce and give words. I've heard some preachers preach, and I sit there and scratch my head and say, what does those words mean? When Jesus preached, you know what he said? Listen, a man went out and sowed seed. And he sowed it and it fell on ground. Now the seed was this, the man was this, the field was this, and the fruit was this. Preaching is to take the word of God and make it simple where people can understand it. They can see the truth. Ezra did that day. Look on. Verse number 9. And Nehemiah, which was a Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, and Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of law. In other words, they heard what the law and the word of God said, and they were convicted, and they began to weep. Because, boy, the word of God cut them. But you need to be thankful about the word of God. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. But it does convict you. And so all the Levites and all the people that have been preaching, they said, whoa, this is a holy day. This is a feast of trumpets. This is a day in which we rejoice. We have happiness. And be happy that the word of God is, that you're able to hear it. Be happy that you're able to understand it. Be happy that it speaks to you. Listen, if you were perfect and didn't need to be cut by the word of God, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. But he sent Jesus because we're all sinners. And so therefore, when we hear the word of God, yes, sometimes it just cuts us all to pieces. These people begin to weep when they heard it. And look on. Verse number 10 says this, and this is where we get our text. And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions of them for whom nothing is prepared. Now let me say this. Here they were. They come together. They preached. And they were mourning and weeping. He said, whoa. He said, you go. You need to understand how blessed you are. You're going to leave here and you're going to go and you're going to sit down at a table. Now, I've been in countries where I went for a week and lost 15 pounds because what I did was I ate rice once a day. And I found some jalapenos. And I would take, when they give me that rice, and they give me just a little bowl. Now imagine a big guy like me eating a little bowl of rice like this. And I'd squeeze those jalapenos. I had to taste something. I couldn't taste nothing. And you tell I fade away nothing. But look here. They give me a glass of coffee. I've told you about this. They dip it in this big old black pot. You say, well, you didn't have any protein. Yeah, I did. The bugs in the coffee. And so I drink that coffee. Every now and then I chew a bug. I spit most of them out. But, but anyway, look here. And so for 7 days, I preach to those people. When I preach, the chief come to me and he told me this. I preach 4 times a day. He said, don't preach less than 2 hours. He said, my people likes to hear preaching when they hear it. And I preach between 2 and 3 hours, 4 times a day. Those people sit on rocks and logs that we pulled up for them to sit on. They walked for 3 or 4 days to get there, night and day. They ate little things they had in their thing to get there, the Indians. They sit on those rocks. Nobody got up and ran to the bathroom when I was preaching. Women, there was about 30 of them, sat there and pulled their breasts out and fed their babies. Nobody paid attention. The chief told me, he said, now my people's not emotional. Don't expect them to come down the aisle. By the end of the week, we had 139 saved. They were falling out of those aisles. Some of them was hearing the word of God for the first time in their life. Little children gathered. I've told you this before. They gathered outside. We had a medical team come from Florida, and I was the only preacher, ended up getting across through there, and so I had to preach every time. And the missionary I was going with got held up at the border, and they wouldn't let him cross. I called my wife. I said, listen, I'm 17 hours away from the lower parts of Panama. The guy I'm supposed to go down there with to preach this meeting, he can't go. And I said, I'm going to go. She said, are you crazy? I said, well, I can't speak the language, don't know where I'm going, don't know anything about it, but I'll figure it out when I get there. And for 17 hours, I rode that old bus up and down them old mountains. Met some guy down there. He called ahead and had some missionary meet me down there. And he took me over to the Indian reservation and met the chief. And chief told all the kids to put clothes on. None of them had any clothes on. And we began to preach. He told me at the end of it, he said, I'm going to let you, I've got a rock at my house. He said, I'm going to let you do something no white man's ever done. He said, we've had such a good meeting, I'm going to let you baptize some of my Indians. And I got baptized 36 of them in San Felix River. 139 of them saved that week. But my point is this. Those little kids would come and they never tasted cold water. They got a drink of cold water and they dance and shout and carry on. And the first night there was about 25 kids that just tasted cold water, first time in their life. And the chief said, don't give them candy. I said, I've got a little bag of candy. So can I give the kids candy? He said, no. He said, they don't know how poor they are. If they get a taste of candy, they'll never be satisfied. He said, they're not used to eating sweets. And he said, just let them eat the rice. He said, but you can give them a drink of cold water. And by the end of the week, there was 200 children gathering out there waiting for a taste of cold water. And they, when they get it, they'd smile and dance and hold hands and they just dance around in circles. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't think much about going and sitting down and eating a meal then. But Deb, some of you all that's fought in the Army and has been in the other lands, you understand where I'm coming from. When I came back to this land, I love America. I'm going to tell you something else. We have such blessing. Listen to me. Everybody wants to whine and cry because you didn't get something for Christmas. Oh, you got more than half the world will ever know. What you sit down at one feast meal, some kids never see that in their entire lifetime. And listen to me. What Ezra told them was this. He said, don't weep, rejoice. He said, you go out and you enjoy what God's blessed you with. You got food, and so he said, eat it and drink it, but enjoy it and know where it's come from and be thankful for it, and then take some of it and give people this less privilege. That's why we send so much money and missionaries and stuff overseas. We got a little boy from India right now we support. $30 a week is what it takes to support, or a year to support him, or a month rather. $30 a month. And it pays for his schooling, it pays for his food, it pays for his clothes, it pays for his housing, it pays for all that, $30. Now let me see your hand. How many of you have paid $30 for a meal before? And we ate it and lost it. And look here, $30 takes one off the streets of India and sticks them in an orphanage and lets them hear the word of God and be preached and raised and go to school and all those things. $30. And so Ezra said, listen, enjoy yourself. Now look on, I'll get with it in just a second. And so the Levites steal all the people. Let me read verse 10. I left out text. It says, then he said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions of them who nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry for the what? Joy of the Lord is your strength. Now let me give you this. I'm going to close real quickly, but I plan on going a lot of other places, but I'm going to show you a couple of things real quickly. What does the joy of the Lord bring you? You lose your joy because you forget how good God's been. You get spoiled when having these privileges all the time. You don't know how to appreciate the freedom to worship. You don't know how to appreciate a house of God to be able to come into. You don't know how to appreciate the blessings that God has given us.
Amen.
Now look here, I'm talking to myself too. Amen. I'm including me, okay? Now, look in your Bibles real quickly and go with me a couple places. What does a joy do? Look if you would in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 real quickly. I'm going to go four places real quick, and I want you to stay with me. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. When you lose your joy, now listen to me. When you lose the joy of the Lord, you lose your strength. That's when you quit. That's when you drop out. That's when you get away from God. When you lose the joy of the Lord. In other words, you lose the freshness of what it means to be saved. Now, let me tell you this. If you're not saved, I don't care what you do, you'll never have the joy of the Lord until you get saved. That's something that the Holy Ghost only gives saved people. It's a fruit of the Holy Ghost. And so the joy of the Lord, and when you lose that and you don't have the joy of the Lord, you lose your strength in doing whatever you need to do. But now notice what joy brings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look if you would in verse number 18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan what? For what is our hope, or what? Joy, or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Listen, when you have joy of the Lord, you say, boy, I get so tired of doing this. This job I got to do, I get so tired. It brings delight in your duty. Whatever you call upon to do, you'll have delight in it when you got the joy of the Lord. When you lose the joy of the Lord, it becomes a duty, not a delight. It's a privilege that to be able to do something, and you find it that way. Look on, if you would, in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter number 5, something else the joy brings. Acts chapter number 5. Notice if you would in verse number 40. Now, they've been preaching. They got arrested for preaching. Verse 40 says, and to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council doing what? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach what? When you have the joy of the Lord, it turns your persecutions into privileges. They were beaten. They could say, "Oh, woe is me! Look what God put me through." But they took those opportunities to make privileges to tell other people about how good the Lord is. Even after they've been beaten and taken to prison. Look on, if you would, in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Thought about illustrating that morning to you and just keeping you here 4 hours, but I thought, well, maybe not the best idea. Chapter 1, verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather for the what? Furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, he said, listen, these burdens I've had to bear are blessings. Because all this I've gone through, I've been beaten. Paul had been beaten 5 times. He'd had his skin pulled off his back with 40 stripes minus one. In other words, 39. He'd have them old bones stuck in his back and pulled his meal. 5 times that happened to him. He took the rods and been beaten with rods. Been thrown in prison many times. Been shipwrecked. All these things had gone. Been stoned and they left him for dead. Stoned to death. Now think about this. He said all those things happened so that the gospel would go out. These, I've got the joy of the Lord. You know what? My birth is nothing but blessings. Because it's happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Look one more place. Or two more places, I'll close. One more place next is James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It turns their trials into triumphs. Notice in James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all what? Joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. In other words, he said, listen, when you go through trials, let them turn into triumphs. Now, Paul said this, if you look in Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to close, but Acts chapter 20. Paul's nearing the end of his life. He's had in some regards what we would call a rough, rough life since he got saved. He faced so many things. But notice if you would, in Acts chapter number 20, in verse number 24, the Bible says this, but none of these things move me, all the things that happened to him, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, listen, you know what got me through all this? The joy of the Lord. I never lost the freshness of what it means to be saved. Tonight, I had several things. I didn't mean to get off on places, but tonight I'm going to finish this up and showing you things that brings us joy, that God's give us, that brings joy to our lives. But this morning, I want you to think about this. If you're going to continue, you got to have strength. And your strength comes from the joy of the Lord. And so Ezra looked at over the people. He said, listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Enjoy the blessings and freedoms and all that God's given us.
But don't forget where it came from. And be thankful to the Lord just to be able to come and hear the word of God preached this morning. Ought to make you a happy person. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Many things I've talked about you don't understand. Maybe this morning you come find that joy. The joy of the Lord ought to make you envious to other people. If you all the time complaining, griping, in misery, why would people want to be like you? The joy of the Lord is the difference. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to come. However God may lead us, we stand, Brother Porter, and give a song.